My pleasure to introduce Ava Borleben. Now, you've come a long way.
Worried about my time?
How much time you have?
I think my speech is rather short, but I'd like to have some
discussion. Okay. Ava's going to talk about corpuscle geometry. And I think we can all agree that she can take as much time as she likes, because I can see that you don't have but only a finite number of corpuscles. Please.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce to you several polyhedra, which are part of what I call corpuscle geometry. Corpuscle, like a small corpus, because they all consist of similar building blocks, which are not, it doesn't make sense to talk about them as single things, but only as part of a compound. So I'll talk first about the basic corpuscle, then the smallest compound of two, and later chains, rings, and networks. So a basic corpuscle consists of 10 regular triangles. Building a pentagonal dichromy, so there's 5 on the top, 5 on the bottom, and they go together, like you see right here. And then there's a cut in between 2 of its segments, so the shape can change its shape from the enclosed volume down to a flat two-dimensional hexagonal structure. And during this motion, there's this gap, this I call it mouth, arising. And in this mouth, I can insert a second corpuscle to obtain a unity. And the flexibility, which here is correct, because it's just hinged, yeah? Now it comes into some mathematical incorrectness. I can still do this to this, yeah?
Could you turn the transparency?
It's a pro. Okay. I think on these it doesn't matter. There's not a lot of text on it. But yeah, you're right. Michael Goldberg described this. So it's called the Goldberg icosahedron. And he calls it a multi-stable polyhedron because there are exactly 3 positions in which all triangles are regular. And during the motion from one position to the other, they are to be slightly deformed. So it's possible to build it as a paper model, but not by hinged steel, for example. Yeah. So one position is the larger, middle, and then there's one shortly before the end, and one shortly before the end. You can use this, everybody? Okay. Yes. Then the next step is to open up the corpuscle, take apart one of the segments to obtain a second mouth, and insert more corpuscles and get a chain. And of course, you can do that in different kinds. Like I had the basic corpuscle with 5 for the Goldberg icosahedron, then I can make a straight chain corpuscle, I can make a smoothly curved corpuscle, and I can make a narrow curved corpuscle. And these 2 are, of course, right-handed and left-handed. Yeah? So when I use the straight type, of course, I get a straight chain. Here I have used a smooth curved corpuscle with the same orientation. I get a helical chain. And when I alter right-handed and left-handed curved chains, curved corpuscles, I get to a curved chain. And basically I can make chains the way I want. I don't know, write names or whatever. I like to narrow, I like to focus. That's why I decided to focus my research basically on corpuscles with a smooth curve. So these 1-3 type. Also because I think they generate the most beautiful trains. And we now come to some second imprecisability. First, because do the rings close? I don't know, maybe some mathematicians will tell me one day. But I have a notation like I'm like an ant crawling on the back of the bigger part, and then I say, okay, next corpuscle is the next bridge, the next bigger part comes left-handed or right-handed. So I have this ring of 8, which comes from right, left, just the most narrow curve I can go with the 1-3 type smooth curve. This one is the ring of 12. It goes right, left, left. Here I have a ring of 16. It goes right, left, left, right, left, right. This is my notation. Last summer I was on the Congress of the International Society for Geometry and Graphics, and I wrote the paper with a friend of mine who made the first animations of corpuscular geometry. And he has another notation which is on the paper, and it's in this notation the point of view is kind of surrounding constantly the chain. I think it's like this more difficult to imagine, but it seems to be more useful for the animation. So whoever tries to do some animation on this, I want to invite you to do it. Might use that. We've had today a few times this question of correctness, and also you said this. Mathematicians say we don't care so much about reality.
Yeah.
And artists say, oh, we neither. But I think it's like two different kinds of reality, or two different points of view on that. Because I always have this discussion, like I have these objects and I talk about them with some mathematicians, and then they tell me, oh, this doesn't exist. Like, are you mad? I can bang your head with this. Yeah. Okay.
Do you ever do that?
No. It's just what we say about sculpturing, because we work in material, and this is what we love. It has some resistance. I have to bang on it, and it bangs back to me. That's what we like. I like to make things stable. Like I can work with it, also this, I can give it to everybody, and I make it in a way that nobody has the experience that he will break something. I think that is very important when you make any interactive model. It should be, it's difficult. It should be, there are a few things to be said about this. Is it precise or is it not? Is it correct or is it not? Like the Puritans of us will regret that there are triangles distorted by closing the chain or by moving the chain. But this is about as sad as the fact that on a piano there is no pure interval realized apart from the octave. And artists accept this dirge of the temperate tuning, since it opens up new possibilities in creativity and composition. And comparably, allow the imprecisely executed corpuscles for a variety of structures which theoretically may not exist. And on the other hand, this corpuscle geometry has a very, especially the one with the smooth curve, has a very strong relation to the purest geometry. Because we can look at the negative space, which is the hole in here, and then you can see it on this model. And you look at the innermost edges, it's six, and they linger like up and down, and you can imagine one point here and one point here, and you get a cube. Yeah? So the cube is part of the negative space here. So the ring of 12. Is surrounding the cube like this. The ring of 8 is just touching it like this. And the ring of 16 goes the longest way here, like the longest way without intersection. Oh, there's something wrong. Here's the ring of 16. Now, to build the whole cube, which is this one, we need a new type of corpuscles. So we've had the basic corpuscle for the Goldberg. We've had the straight chain, we've had the smoothly curved chain, and then network corpuscle like this. Now they have three mouths. And I can expand chains and yeah. In Dresden I had a nice cube, but it was too big for here. It's always fun to travel with. Must have been looking very nice on the radar, or what do you call it? This is a little bit left of the line. I had to fold it together, unfold it by stretching it, so it's all on one string. And when I tighten it as tight as possible, then it's rigid. In here it's 31 meters. I give about 3 centimeters to it, and now it appears to be flexible. And since this. So how I want to show you. So whenever I move one part, the whole structure is moving with it. Okay. Now there's something very amazing about this, which you can't see because this is not colored. Well, intuitively, I expect it. Coming from the Goldberg icosahedron, which just goes ching, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, I think the chain goes like thick, flat, thick, flat, thick, flat. But that's not happening. You go like flat, thick, thick, flat, thick, thick. Do you see that? I have 1 phase here. Second, third, and when I'm on the fourth, here I'm flat again. Yeah. Which I find the most amazing thing about corpuscle geometry, this three-phased collective movement. So that's why the ring of 8 is rigid. The ring of 16 is rigid. The ring of 12 is flexible. I show you another flexible structure, which is not made of a smooth curve, but straight and narrow curve. So like this, the ring of six, it's also flexible. And it goes like sharp curve, straight, sharp, straight, sharp. It's not as beautiful as you can see. And it's not, it comes together to one point in the center. So don't know, is this a polyhedron with a handle or without? Are you asking something?
Are they absolutely flexible, or does it depend on being able to change the shape of triangles?
Well, I'm working in what I call reality material. And material, as you said, even when theoretically everything is perfect, goes its own way. I don't calculate it, I don't animate it, and I'd like you to answer this question. Really? Yeah. Okay. With a okay. This is the cool cube, we said, yeah? Inside is the cube, and I have another better picture of it. This is like the same model from 4 views. The negative space is like a cube, and then you have a square antiprism on each face of the cube. So you say, see, there is space inside, and then it's like the square is rotated to the outside. It's not so easy to be seen. I know, that's why I say, if you make a photograph, you won't see anything. Of course, I'd like to spread out the network like endlessly. And intuitively, I think, okay, I have these bridges, I have these chain corpuscles here, so why not open here and just go further? But there's the cube inside, but it doesn't stuck like a cube as a whole thing. It's a little bit more difficult. And for the like this next layer of expansion, I reduce the shape a little to keep a clear view on it. I hope you can see this. Here we have the corpuscle cube, or corpuscle ball, I say, and we have these entrances to the negative space, which are square. And we have here, this is like on the corner of the cube, we have a network corpuscle, and I replace this with a hexagon. Because when I expand the network, half of this part outside here will be already part of the next one I'm touching. When I go out here and say, okay, I build a second cube on here, then part of what I see here is already part of the other one. And it's exact to say the plane inside this network corpuscle is like the plane of attachment, the face where the one and the next corpuscle cube attach. So I have the square here, and the hexagon replaced here, and what I get then is a truncated octahedron. Yeah. Truncated octahedron, here you see the whole octahedron, like the truncation is redone, the corner is on it, it's the pure octahedron. Now we know that truncated octahedra stuck very well space filling. The problem is just, it's really difficult to say all this without models, I know. But different possibilities to stack them. You can either stack them square to square, which does not interest us because our stacking goes hexagon to hexagon. But even hexagon to hexagon, we have two different possibilities. One is to go like this edge connects a square to a hexagon, and the other is one edge connects square to square. And the stacking like this generates this wonderful space-filling package, but it is not the intuitive way of just expanding, as we said. Just expanding, just taking apart and go further is comparable to this sort of stacking, and this is just like stacking octahedra. So I have to have a second layer of packaging to be thought of to later on replace my octahedra, replace or decorate them with my corpuscle balls to get my space filling network. And just to come to an emphasis, wonderful thing, yeah, about layers, and this is something we have been talking about today also a few times. It's, we say, fractals have the same shape on different layers, on another scale again. And something similar that shifted happens here also. Maybe you can see it. We've had the network corpuscles, which were looking like this. Yeah? And they build a skin which divides two spaces, positive space, like corpuscle space, space inside here. The skin is dividing the space inside here from the, negative space, space outside. The cube is part of the negative space. The square antiprism are part of the negative space. And the network corpuscle is dividing the two. This kind of corpuscle. Okay. Now, stacking octahedra in a way that they can be, in a way that this kind of packaging can be extended endlessly, is this sort, and it's also a skin dividing one space from another, but just like that, like another sort of corpuscle, network corpuscle with four mouths. It's not really fractal because it is different, but same in a way. Okay. I think I'll stop here and ask you if you have any questions.
I'm curious, what's the largest of this type of structure that you've built?
What do you mean large? Like complex or large?
Largest. Largest segment size, I guess.
Yeah, that worked quite well. It was a straight one, but it worked very well. Very nice. It's absolutely the same material like this one. Mm-hmm. I wanted to rebuild it, but I thought they wouldn't let me through with something like that.
I'm also curious how you've got that example where everything's open, you're only seeing the segments, mm-hmm. and the one you passed around has just the skin, it's almost the inverse. Do you have a preference between those two? How often do you build with the structure, and how often do you build with
Yeah. Well, I did one for the International Society conference in last summer, and also of this material with the wooden plate. sides and the springs, and it was this size, and it has three colors, which is very nice to make it invisible. Then, well, it both has some preferences, like this is really light, I can take it on the aeroplane, it's fantastic. And this one was sort of magic in the impression, because like in this room, I had it in the room, room this size, and you step inside and you wouldn't see it. You think, this is an exhibition, where's the thing? And then after a while, ah, there is something. It's very close to maps, maybe. From these written ones, like the Ring of Eight, the Ring of 15, I also made concrete things, like really rigid things, which are heavy, which I can leave out of sight, and nobody will carry them away. That's a property also. I always have to store them, hide them, keep, I don't know, protect them. Yeah. And this is another interesting thing, the corpuscle ball. It is containing the rigged rings, like it is rigged itself. And when I built this global structure and replace all the octahedra with corpuscle balls, then to make it flexible, I have to apart some of the corpuscles to get it going. Yeah.
Now, did you say you had one string to the whole thing?
Yeah.
How do you get it in there?
You know, well, first I made a few drawings to think of it. My first aim was, I would like to know if it is possible to like go on one circle. It's not possible, it is two circles. And then I have these eyes here. I have to be aware of in which direction it goes, otherwise they all, yeah. And the way, well, I know it, it goes.
How do you get your string inside?
Well, you see, this is a string, I just put it inside and go through it.
So you could use cables.
Cables, yeah.
And some, you know, large pipes.
Yeah, no problem. But this is like my old-fashioned style. I've done, it's the same with you, maybe this can come back, the Duarte press, which is made of these very, very practical things where you can just screw them into each other, and you get also, you get connections which are the last bar, how do you say?
Stable.
No, it's not stable. It is, you can get a rattle at it, it won't fall apart, but it's flexible. And I use this system a lot, but I know that when people see it, they're so mad about the system, they don't really see the structure anymore. So I didn't do that. It's true. And then I said, ah, okay, but it's only because of the springs, I am.
Be great for teaching kids polygons in the same
it's
area.
It's amazing. Like,
can everybody see what she's got here?
Yeah.
There, you know, if you have a notebook and cut out the wire.
When you make
snip them off,
cube of it, it's just amazing to see in how many different kinds you can fold cubes. It's amazing that all this architecture doesn't fall apart. Really. And cubes are so unstable.
Very convenient, very practical.
Yeah.
So on your last slide, you had a configuration of octahedra.
Yeah.
Were there 24 octahedra in that?
24, I tried to find it, sorry. I'm thinking of this one, yeah? No. You're thinking of this one?
Yeah.
Here?
That's the one I was looking at, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how many there are.
how many? Well, this is the ring of 12. This is, well, you can't just stack octahedra space filling by them. But there are rings possible. There's space left in between, negative space, but you can make a ring of 8. This was in the short corner here, back. Or the ring of 12, which is very nice and symmetrical. And here is actually one octahedra in the center, and then on every side there's another one. And I could take this and place it into the ring, and it would touch on these three sides, and then from here would be a ring of 8, here would be a ring of 8, here would be a ring of 8. And I can put one more in the ring of 8, and then I get the dense structure again. When you expand this structure, you have a pattern where there's always altering one octahedron which has neighbors on each face, with one octahedron which has only two neighbors on opposite sides, which is actually the same, sort of the same, of what is happening here. I have the cube which is surrounded on each side, and then the square antiprisms which are only surrounded, only attached at two sides. I can make a two-dimensional drawing of the princess and say in the negative space of the corpuscular network I have like here antiprisms and they all attach here and here, and I can make like a network of that. And comparably, I can do this actually in two dimensions. It doesn't work with a triangle, but I can make it with a hexagon. And I can say like, let's say this one attaches here and here, this one here and here, and then I get an overall pattern. Yeah, if that helps. Any more questions? Yeah.
And the criterion for movability is constant volume. The volume function is a is constant. And this is not the case for this.
That's true. When I built this from paper and all the hinges are air blocking, then I make one hole anywhere and I do it and
And therefore the other part cannot be movable.
Cannot be movable. Here we are again. It's impossible. Well, one of my answers is look at the piano. And the second answer is Mr. Goldberg has also described a modified version which from the beginning on has triangles slightly uneven, like they have, I don't know, 26 degrees here and 59 here and there. And this goes through the whole movement without any distortion. And I'd say if you're smart in computer engineering, you can first design a ring of 12 which fits, and second, design a ring of 12 which breathes without breathing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you pick that up again and do your quantum mechanical thing?
Yeah. Do you see it here on the table also?
Hold it up, yeah.
It's a little bit low.
Now, in quantum mechanics, you have a thing called entanglement.
I don't know.
Okay, now you're
maybe
good.
It's just language. Can somebody...
Now you're going to know. If you have four photons.
Four photons.
And they're entangled. and you squash one of them, the squash one, the other four gets squashed.
Yes.
That's a phenomenon in quantum mechanics called entanglement.
The position of one determines the position of the other.
Well,
as soon as you measure it. Right.
It's not from no reason that I call it corpuscular geometry. But actually, I only have
I know that they exist.
Well, yeah, think about this idea of entanglements.
Entanglement, German?
Well, Schrodinger invented the word.
That one.
The point being, here, when you collapse one, how many others collapse?
It's the ring of 12, and it's every third collapsing, so it's four flat.
So this is like four photons, which have suffered spontaneous down conversion. And then they go off into space, who knows where.
I'm not sure if it's possible to really compare it to molecular structures.
Not possible, I just did it.
Depends on what you mean by possible.
In mind, I have a length here, and they should be antisocial, so they want to have this distance, but this distance is smaller, which I think it's difficult to get it into what is reality or what we think of reality is down there in the small world.
Well, it's a very different place there.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about when we are talking about.
What's so different about it is things like this happen.
Yeah.
Where you have this simultaneous collapse where you just used your hand to close one.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't touch the other one.
Exactly. And there's not even a electric line to it. It's
well, that's quantum mechanics.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, it brings conclusions.
Yeah, okay. Well, things on different scales act differently. Like corpuscular geometry in one layer has cubes and antiprisms, and on this layer it's octagons. And like you can't build aeroplanes like insects because air in the small scale is just behaving completely different than the other scales. Yeah. And that's maybe the end of infinity of fractals also. Well, comes a little from far.
Any more questions? You still have some corpuscles left in you.
I don't see them. I don't know if I trust them.
You were just saying.